Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. I know normally we start at 18 and look at 19 and 20. But today, this morning, we're going to start in verse 20 of Romans chapter 1. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, there's one thing I would prefer not to be. I would prefer not to be a fool. How about you? How many of you want to be fools? No? None of us? There have been times in my life that I have been a fool, when I have acted proudly, when I've wanted to show how smart I was. Times like that, really, I've been stupid. And I don't want to be that. And I know none of you want to be that. Pride made me think that I was smarter than I actually was. You know, pride lifted up my ego, and it made me feel like I was in control. Have you ever felt like you were in control? You really had the situation under control. Every time that I did something like that, I had a price to, there was a price to be paid. Usually, it was paid with a certain amount of bitterness. That was before I got saved. And before Jesus Christ became a part of my life. Now, I wish that I could tell you that I've not done anything like that since I've been saved. But in order to tell you that, I'd have to be lying. Don't ask my wife. She might remember some of the stupid things I've done. I've acted foolishly from time to time, but the Holy Spirit has always sort of chastened me. He's always let me know internally that I was not quite where I should be. And perhaps you have experienced the same thing. Along the way, I've learned that there is no such thing as get rich quick. There is no such thing as a free lunch. And somebody has to pay for it all. I've learned that. Okay, I'm hearing feedback, and AB tells me it's my hearing aids. Okay. I wish that God has tried to make it simple for the new believer. And even for the individual who is seeking a knowledge of God without having the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, he has tried to make it clear so they can understand that. You came to understand what God wanted in your lives. Scripture tells us that the invisible things of God are clearly seen. Clearly seen. It's not a gray area. You know, you'll talk to people about the Bible and say, well, that's sort of a gray area. No, it isn't gray. It's crystal clear. If we let the Holy Spirit do the work that he came to do, everyone who's ever been born into this world has a knowledge in their mind of God. Everyone. The mongoloid, the Down syndrome, the normal people like you and I. Everyone has a knowledge of God when they're born. So why is everything in such a mess? Let's go to God and ask Him to give us an understanding about what this passage really is trying to tell us and see if we can understand what He wants us to know and understand this morning. He had a purpose for you coming this morning. Let's see if we can find it. So when you go home, you can say, wow, I'm so glad I did that. Father, help us. We are children. We do not know all things. You do. And Father, we know that You do want us to be children that understand. And so this morning, as we look into Your Word, we would ask that Your Holy Spirit, who is here in power, who is here in knowledge, who is here in understanding, and Father, who lives in our hearts, that He would help us to know what You want us to know this morning. And Father, that He would remind us about the things that we have forgotten, that You might be glorified and that our lives might be more effective for Thee. And we will praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I am constantly amazed by people who say that they believe the Bible and then they don't do it. I'm really amazed by that. It would be so simple to do what the Bible says, and instead they take the hard road and ignore it and don't do it. They say that they belong to Jesus. But as I observe their lives, I don't see signs of that. I don't see changes. I don't see any difference in some people who say they are Christians than what I see in the world. There's been no change. There's been no difference. They try and sort of incorporate the philosophy of the world. They try and explain the Bible and creation through evolution. They do the things that people tend to do who do not know the Bible or understand the Bible. For some of these folks, I don't see them doing anything that Jesus taught we were to do in our ministry. And so it makes me wonder, are they really saved? Do they really know about God? They're worldly wise, no question about that. But you know what? They're fools when it comes to believing and practicing what the Bible says. Let's take the first verse of our scripture for this morning, Romans 1:20. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." That's a pretty simple statement of fact. Not too hard to understand. Every creature brought into the world, every man, every woman brought into the world as a baby has a knowledge inherent in them of who God is. And with that knowledge, they could please God, but they choose to exert their pride, to exercise their pride. And there are consequences to that. Without any effort at all, the worldly wise become fools. You know, when I was experiencing times of as a fool and acting foolishly, I didn't see anything wrong with what I was doing until it was time to deal with the consequences. Then I saw it. And at times like that, I really didn't want to pay the consequences. The old devil, the deceiver, he loves to watch the Christian make a fool of themselves. He does. If you don't want any obstacle, if you don't want any resistance, act like a fool. Devil won't bother you. He likes fools. You're going to have a lot of them in hell. Many drunks acting like fools don't make it home without killing themselves or someone else. Would it surprise you for me to tell you that Christians sometimes act like fools? They can. There are many Christians, if they go to church regularly, decide to no longer go. And then for years, they won't go anywhere. They attend, they're regular, they look just like a real Christian. But then they stop going. They don't go and look for another church someplace. They're happy because they don't like coming under conviction of God's Holy Spirit. And folks, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you from time to time are going to come under conviction. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's God molding you to be like Jesus Christ. Remember 2 Peter chapter 1? The things that we're trying to add to our lives and in order to be more like Jesus. Some of these folks don't want to hear anything bad. They don't want to hear anything that brings conviction. They want their fur sort of stroked in the right direction. I had an uncle when I was a little boy. Every time I came into his presence, he'd grab me by the head and start using his knuckles on my head. Ever have that happen to you? I hated that. No. We all want to be comfortable. We do. We have a little circle that we're, a little bubble that we go around in, and we're comfortable in that bubble. Then God reaches down from heaven and pops it. And there we are again, not comfortable. If we're going to do what God has said, we're going to have to listen to his word, and we're going to have to do his word, And actually, we're going to have to invest our lives for Jesus. And sometimes we get sidetracked, sometimes we get busy with life, and we forget about that. So I want to remind you a little bit about this. We'll be looking at this particular verse on Wednesday night. But it comes from 1 John chapter 2, and it's verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, you all know what it says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How could a person do that? Has pride taken control of the life? And if you say anything about their lifestyle, they become angry, which is pride. Proverbs 3:10 tells us, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So, living in the world, being a part of the world, they have become spiritually blind. And we need to think about this morning. This is sort of a warning from John. Many of you have been parents, and you have raised your children the way you know the Bible tells you. Did any of you ever look forward to the time that you could get out the paddle and use it? No, not as parents, we don't do that. We want our children to act right. We want them to obey us. And yet, there are times when they don't. Now, there were times when my wife and I thought maybe our kids were adopted. Because our kids wouldn't do that. But they did. I believe that a loving God might respond the same way when his children go astray as we did. He would chasten. And we've all experienced it at one time or another. If you haven't experienced it, maybe God's not your father. Think about that. If you have not at one time or another, because we all sin, we all go astray, we all disobey, if God does not chasten, then maybe he's not your father. I'd like for us to take a little time this morning to look at verse 21 in Romans 1. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. As we get into this verse, we're getting into an area where we all need to be careful. Many people take credit for what God does. You ever done that? Huh? Oh, look how good I am. Look how good a job I did on that. And it's actually God that's doing that. They talk about all that they have accomplished and the great things that they have done. They brag about the victories, about how good they are at various skills. They've stopped giving God the glory and started taking it for themselves. They're taking credit for God's accomplishments. And we need to be careful that you and I don't do that. Listen to what I'm saying. We're talking about a very slippery slope when you or I begin to take credit for what God is actually doing. Really, that's not far from the sin of ingratitude. We should be thanking God for everything. There was a question in the lesson today. I was disappointed you didn't ask it. There was the first question in a lesson. What has God done to bless you in the last week? And I have to admit, Tim, that when I first saw that question, I was a little bit of a loss to answer that question, because he has blessed me all week long. He has blessed me every day. And yet, sometimes we start taking those kind of things for granted. When we get up in the morning, we've had some kind of rest, maybe not, but he's given us some kind of rest because we haven't been working all night. Maybe we've been laying there tossing and looking at the clock. I've done that. But at least you're laying there. You open the refrigerator and there's actually food there. Maybe not what you want right that morning, but there is food there. So I want us to think a little bit about how God is blessing us, all of us. It's not all gloom and doom. God has blessings for you. He wants to give them to you. He's not going to charge you. He's going to pour them out and he's going to give them to you. When a person begins to take credit for what God is doing, they're doing two things. They're being ungrateful for what God is doing, but they are also approaching to apostasy. You see, the moment a person becomes truly ungrateful, they become apostate. Against the truth. Not speaking the truth. And what happens to people who become ungrateful to God for what he is doing in their lives, they become ungrateful to other people for what they are doing. They begin to think that they are entitled, that is their right to have that right to be comfortable. They seem to lose a couple of words out of their vocabulary. Thank you. How many times have you let people out into traffic and there's no hand? Finally, I got in. How many times have you done that? We try and make sure that my wife and I both wave. Let them know we're grateful. But you know, we get to doing the same thing with God. He blesses us. He gives us something. He gives us, and you say, what has God given me this morning? He's given you a whole day. At least I hope it's a whole day. And it came from God. And it is a gift. And he wants you to use it. He wants you to enjoy it. Nice sunrise this morning. Enjoy it. It may be a pretty sunset tonight. It was last night. Enjoy it. So many blessings. Probably most of us will eat lunch today. Enjoy it. It came from God. Because before we eat lunch, whether it's a church group or you as an individual or with a family, don't you bow your head and thank God for it? Yeah, it's a gift. It's a blessing. There's people all over the world that can't sit down to lunch. And so we need to be thankful. We need to be grateful to God. And part of this is that when they knew God, they glorified him not. Romans 1:21. We're supposed to be glorifying God for everything that he is doing for us. We need to understand it is God who's doing it. It's not ourselves. You know, people who feel like we owe them something, like we owe them to hold the door open for them so they can pass. How many times do you do that? You hold the door open. Many people say, thank you. They're still grateful. At least they say they are. How many people do not tell you that? How many people just walk through that door expecting you to be their servant and hold that door open for them? People like that begin to think that they are the center of the world. And you know, that seems to be what's going on in our society today. I am more important than anybody in the whole universe. The whole world revolves around me. They're ungrateful. Actually, they're narcissistic. And we have a lot of narcissism in the world. You know, it's unwise to place confidence in a person like that. Because they're going to let you down. Because they're going to put themselves first. When a person begins to take credit for what somebody else does, when a person begins to take credit for what God does, they have become a thief. They're stealing God's honor. They're stealing your honor. If you do something well for someone else, you deserve honor for that. But if they don't give you any credit for it, they're stealing your honor. They're stealing God's honor. The person who becomes ungrateful and who is willing to steal the honor of God is only a step away from vanity. In other words, they're not thinking correctly, and their plans are going to come to nothing. That's what Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12:8 says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." We all have choices. We can be grateful for what we have, or we can be critical about what we don't have. Which would you rather be? Would you rather be grateful for what God is going to give you and what he is giving you? Or would you rather be critical about the things you're not getting, even though God doesn't want you to have them? It's talking about the invisible things of God. Paul understood this. He comprehended this when he said to the Philippians in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Are you content in South Carolina, or you want to be in Florida? That's not what he meant. He meant whether he was being persecuted, whether he was in prison, whether he was suffering want. He was comfortable with that. He was content. I hope that you folks have not lost the wonder of life. And I want to just take a few minutes here this morning to remind you. There are times when you watch, I like to watch the little children here at the school. When you show them something. I went over the other morning with our grandson, Joseph, and he went into the school, and I think that Amy's daughter was there too. And the kids had found a spider crawling across the lunchroom. And they were all sort of gathered around looking at it, and the teacher said, "What should we do?" The spider had hundreds of babies on its back. It had hatched its egg, and they were riding on Mama. She was going to take them someplace where they would exist. And some of them were falling off and running around. It was something to show the kids. They were so amazed. They had never seen anything like that. They were learning something. And then she said, "What should I do?" I said, "Get a dustpan. Let's get her outside where she can turn all these little ones loose and nobody's going to be bothered." So we got her up on a dustpan. I took her out and all the kids with me, you know, they got to see all these little ones. I dumped her on the grass and these little ones just went everywhere. But for them, it was wonder. And God put so much around us to wonder about. People, I hope you haven't lost the wonder of life. Every day, there's something we can be awed by. There are just so many different things. There's a glorious sunset. Make you say, "Oh, ho hum, I've seen that before." No. What does a rainbow do for you? Connie and I look for rainbows every time it rains. And the sun comes out, you know, and you see a rainbow, and doesn't that get you excited? That's a wonder of God. That's God communicating with you. He promised he would. What are the wonders of life? Do you see the beauty in a butterfly? What about flowers? Do they make your existence brighter? It was a beautiful arrangement that Patsy made of the gladiolus. The other day, Connie and I were taking Joseph up to meet his stepfather, so he could spend the weekend with him, and we were sitting at a Cracker Barrel, not around here, but about halfway to Florence, and we were sitting there on a bench and rocking chairs, and a butterfly came and lit on his pant leg, and to begin with, he was a little afraid of it, because he didn't know what it was or what it could do. But butterflies, for those of you who don't know much about butterflies, butterflies don't have a mouth, so they can't bite. They don't have any teeth. And they're a beautiful creature to look at, all the color. And that color is made by scales like on a fish on the wings. You grab a ring or touch a wing and you will have scales on your hands. God made that for us to enjoy. To give us some wonder, to remind us that he is the one who made it all. And so people, we should have the joy and the wonder of life as a part of our life. It shouldn't be mundane. Now some of you ladies don't like black little beady eyes with whiskers out in front. And yet, that's something that God made. And there can be some wonder to it. Some of you are shuddering. He's also made those long things without legs. And you ladies, by intent, are not supposed to like those. Yet, the wonder. I like the song, The Wonder of It All. Because that's what life is supposed to be for all of us. It's supposed to be something special. And Paul here in Romans is talking about how special that can be for all of us. Has creation lost its wonder for you? I hope not. I hope you can still be, you know, awed by some of the things that God has made, some of the things that he does when he lights up the sky or lights up in the dawn, lights up the sky. Yeah, and you might say, well, Brother Ken, I'm having difficulty enough just trying to stay alive. What does God call those who believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Doesn't he call us his children? Have you ever watched a little child wonder at these new things? And that's part of the neatness of watching a baby begin to experience. Our youngest son was scared to death of grass. You try and put him down in the grass and he would scream. Pull up his feet, you know, and his legs. And today, it's hard to get him out of the woods. The wonder. The wonder. And God is putting around each one of us wonder. Wonderful things. We need to be aware. How many of you, if you had a butterfly land on you, would be excited about it? When Joseph was there and that butterfly kept coming back to his pant leg and landing on it, I was really envious. I was wanting it to come land on mine so I could get a better look at it. Never did. You know, God wants you to wonder at all the things that he has made. And as we were studying, I guess it was in the book of Revelation, chapters 21 and 22, about heaven and what it's going to be like, we can't even begin to imagine. We can't. And we're going to be just like a little baby when we get there, looking around at all the wonder that God has prepared for each one of us. Now we're talking about the creation, teaching us about God. And I sure hope that once again, none of you have lost the wonder of life. Even sometimes when I'm in the hospital or my wife has been in the hospital, I wonder about all the things that they can do. And all the things they're learning to do. You know, life is supposed to be an exciting experience. Not a dreadful experience, but an exciting experience as we wonder about all the things that are around us. It's to be filled with pleasures, and God is going to pour those out for you. He's going to give them to you. He's promised to. Every day we should be filled with expectations from God. We'll be given things to do, and we should stay busy for the Lord. There will be mundane things. Laundries have to be done. Dishes have to be done. But those mundane things, in doing them, we may find some serendipities. Every once in a while, something turns out to be different than what we were anticipating. Jesus told us something. He told us in Mark 12:30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. Loving results in serving. Somewhere along the way, we are being encouraged to grow up and become adults. And in so doing, many times we lose the wonder of life. We no longer have the expectations God's going to bless us with something. Like a butterfly. Maybe you don't get excited about butterflies. If you look at my office, you'll see I do. The creation can be a wonderful experience for the believer. And it should be an even more wonderful experience because we know the Creator. When you see that butterfly, Jesus did it. When you see that bluebird, we were standing on our son's porch yesterday afternoon, and a whole flock, I mean, not just one or two or three or four, but a dozen or more bluebirds came into the front yard. I don't know where they came from, but it was a wonder. It was a blessing. Colossians 1:16 tells us, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." All of the creation bears the signature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it should point us to him. All of it should. Think about it. Even the invisible things about Jesus were built into the creation to point to Jesus. How many of you like to see lightning? I do. I like to watch it. And that's power. That's the power of God in operation. When you behold any part of nature, it should remind you that Jesus made it. And what a wonderful thing. Someday he's going to redeem our bodies. He hasn't yet. He's redeemed our souls. Someday he's going to redeem our bodies, and we're going to be in just this amazing place with all this amazing stuff going on around us. The wonder of it all. Investing our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his creation. Think about it. People reject the purpose of the creation, which is to remind us of God. And that's the reason he made it. Are you saved and living for Jesus? Or are you lost and unhappy with the world around you? There are people that way. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to wash away all sin and to provide eternal life to all who believe. Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the creation should take on a special meaning, every part of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us in your word that everything that we see, everything we hear, the things we experience are from Thee. And Father, they all go to the purpose of why You have us here. And so, Father, help us to have the wonder of life, to continue to be awed by the things that You have made, the things You provide for us. And Father, then may we share through these things the Lord Jesus Christ with those who do not know Him. Thank You, Father, for giving us this time together this morning. May Your will be done in each of our lives. And Father, we will praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close in a